Sarah Rawlinson of Early Word. Welcome to First Flights, the Penguin debut author program, a unique opportunity for librarians to be the first to get to know the authors of major new titles coming out in the next few months. If you haven't already, you can join First Flights by signing up on earlyword.com. You'll receive advanced copies of forthcoming debut novels and have the opportunity to join a live chat with each author. Today I'm talking to Derek Sherman, author of Race Across the Sky. He's joining us from his office in Chicago. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you for having me.
Race Across the Sky is your first novel, an original trade paperback that will be published by Plume in July. So thanks for joining us, Derek. You have a day job, I understand.
I do. I'm a creative director for an advertising agency in Chicago.
Well, you know, there's some interesting connections between advertising and novel writing. There's a fairly famous best-selling author who was once head of J. Walter Thompson. So there is that connection. You may know his name, James Patterson. How has your background in advertising affected your writing, do you think?
Well, that's a great question. In advertising, we always struggle to try to find a previously unthought of human insight, a way to connect to people and a story to tell to them about things that they use or might want to use in their lives. And that search for human truth and insight, I think, leads very naturally into novel writing.
So what then made you want to write a novel?
You know, when you're trying to storytell in a way that might affect people, you get ideas, and this one just happened to keep going past the 2-page mark into the 200-page mark. I'm also a huge reader and a huge lover of fiction, so when I saw that I might have a novel, I sort of gleefully kept going for it.
Your book is about these two brothers, Caleb and Shane, who have been estranged for 10 years, and they come back together in this interesting circumstance around a very sick little girl that they are trying to find a cure for. So the title of the book, Race Across the Sky, has several meanings. There's the race to save the little girl, and there are, of course, the racing that one of the characters does.
Yes, there's several races. It speaks to literally the 100-mile races that Caleb and his friends do as ultra-marathoners, specifically the big race at the end of the book. It speaks to the race that his brother Shane does to try to reconnect with him quickly. It speaks to the race of Shane's world, which is biotechnology, and they're racing to find new cures for diseases before their competition does. It also speaks to the cultural race towards the extremes that we seem to be seeing in our world.
You introduced me to a couple of worlds that I really was not aware of. First was these ultra marathons, which Caleb is involved in. And when I started reading about the ultra marathons, I was sure you'd made them up.
Yeah, a lot of people definitely get that feeling as well. Interestingly, when I started the book, no one was talking about ultra marathoners. But about a few years back, a nonfiction book came out, Born to Run, which unexpectedly blew up the charts and blew up the running and book industry in many ways and surprised people. And when that happened, I saw how much potential there was in this topic, and more people had heard of these incredible athletes and what they're able to do to their bodies.
Have you been involved in ultra marathoning yourself?
No, not even I was trying to think of something funny to say about that. No type of marathon whatsoever am I involved in.
And then there's the other world, which seems very disparate from the first world, which is biotechnology. The other brother, Shane, is involved in biotechnology. That's a world I wasn't really aware of. And you were able to, I think, make me understand it in a way I wouldn't have if I'd tried to sit down and read a nonfiction book about it.
Oh, that's great to hear. Interestingly, when women in book clubs previewed the book, I wasn't sure how that would hold up.
You had book clubs previewing your book?
Yeah. When I finished the book to the extent that I thought it was finished. I didn't know what to do with it. If you go online and you Google, I've just written a novel, what next? You get a lot of disgruntled people complaining to you on blogs that there's no way to get published if you're not famous. And then you realize that they're all writing books about dwarves and dragons, and you kind of don't know what to do.
So you decided that you would in a sense, it seems like something an advertising guy would do.
That's exactly right. I reached out to friends' wives who I didn't know very well and asked if their book clubs might be interested in reading a manuscript. And a lot of them were up for it. So different book groups around the country, I'd say about four, in Boston and San Francisco and Chicago, read the manuscript. And they all got back to me. And all of the women in those clubs loved the science and the biotechnology and felt like they were learning something and engaged by something, and they were really turned on by that part of it.
As I said, it seemed like the two worlds were really different, but Caleb is involved in ultra marathons as a part of a healing process. The guy he trains with is a healer. Shane, of course, working in biotechnology, that also involves healing. What was it about healing that particularly was of interest to you?
It's a very astute and deep question, because that's something that I didn't realize was in the book until quite a ways into it. To me, the book was about what is it that drives us to push ourselves, not all of us, but some of us, to push ourselves so far, way past the boundaries of what our friends and coworkers would think is rational.
Right.
And not only as individuals, but as industries and as cultures. And to your point, it wasn't until I was really into it that I saw that connection, that biotechnology is about healing people, and that for Caleb, running is about healing a very deeply wounded part of him.
Tell me about the publishing process. You have been in advertising, and that strikes me as something that requires concise writing, a concise way of getting ideas across. So I imagine when you came to the editing process that there may not have been that much to do in the actual editing of the book.
Well, in advertising, you don't work alone. You work with a partner. If you're a writer, you have an art director partner, and then you have a chief creative officer above you, and if you're just starting, you have two or three in between. And any one of those people has every right to send you back to the drawing board, to tell you things aren't working, to inject their own ideas and interpretations of your idea into it. Nice idea, but I would say it this way. You get that a lot. And then you sell that to clients, and you at a client marketing department, you might have 5, 6, 7 people between the ages of 22 and 62 commenting on your work. And you learn very quickly that if you become that stubborn creative person that does your way or no way, you'll be out of a job. So you learn to collaborate, you learn to take critique.
So and in fact, writing the novel must have felt very odd to you, because you were doing that essentially alone, I imagine.
Yeah, it was very freeing, because it was something I could just do on my own without anybody's input. But then at a certain point, I realized that I was going to need people's input, and I'd been trained in advertising to seek it out, thus me sending it out to book groups and stuff, and embrace it. So when it came down to finding an agent and an editor, I read online about people who find that process very difficult. But I loved it, and my lovely agent Rachel did the first round of edits, and then when we were lucky enough to be bought by Plume and Penguin, Denise Roy did the next round, and I look forward to every critique and every comment, because I've learned that that makes your work stronger. And in the rare instance that you really feel it doesn't, you can discuss it.
Great. Well, you're going to have an opportunity to hear librarians asking you questions and make comments on your book, because we'll be having this live chat on Wednesday, June 12th. I also understand that you'll be appearing at ALA. You'll be signing your book in the booth, so librarians will have a chance to get to know you there as well.
I'm really excited about that. I could not be happier, and especially in such a beautiful, beautiful place as the library is in Chicago.
It's my favorite place to go for a show. So thank you so much, Derek. Thank you for giving the Penguin First Flight participants an insight onto your novel, Race Across the Sky. And thanks to you out there for listening. Remember, if you're not a member of Penguin's First Flights program, you can sign up on earlyword.com. And please come back for the live chat with Derek on Wednesday, June 12th from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Thanks.